Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein, an hour of learning, Hashkafa, and the Yeshiva Shalmaila. We have a really interesting program this week. We're going to be talking about Mesira. Are you allowed to be Meiser, a Yid, to the authorities? Something that has been in the news, unfortunately, lately. So we got a lot of questions about it, and we decided to do a program. We have a number of wonderful guests this week. We have Rabbi Yoina Reis. He's the Bezdin of the CRC, Chicago Rabbinical Council. He is also a Chavar Bezdin of the RCA. He's a Ran in Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. We have Rabbi Yaakov Shalom Grunstein. He's the Bezdin of Birchas Usher in Borough Park. He's also the Dayan in the Chayshim Mishpat for Babov. For those of you that are in the know, that's Babov 45. And we will also have an individual, a Mr. Rothschild, who was in Meiser and talks about the effect it had on his life. And he will then have a conversation with Rabbi Grunstein about, you know, are you ever allowed to be Meiser somebody to get yourself out of hot water? In one of the coming weeks, we will have Rabbi Bechafer, the Bezdin of the Five Towns. It was a long, wide-ranging conversation about Mesira too. We could not get it on this program. We wouldn't be able to do it justice. It was an important conversation. We'll be playing that in the next few weeks. I do want to mention three things. Number one, all Mara Mekaymis are on the website. So anything you're missing, if we say a shach, a paz, a berhetiv, it's too fast, look it up on the website. Additionally, all comments, or almost all comments that we get, we do put up on the website, be they in email form, or be they voicemails. We do put them up on the website. Even those that stridently disagree, we put up. All we ask is that you be respectful. And third but not least, I do want to give a disclaimer. This is a very important topic, but it's also a very sensitive topic. It's do not try this at home. Rabbi Reis is a famous dayan, a world-renowned dayan. Rabbi Grunstein has a Beis Hayrah that's open 24 hours a day. They answer shilas. Rabbi Bechafer has a very well-known Bezdin in the Five Towns. They're all available for calls. We are only going through this sugya to give everybody a flavor for what the issues are. Do not paskid on such an important matter from a radio. So this is a disclaimer. It's Bahagdol Tara Ladira. We're talking and learning. Call of dying. And one a dying who specializes in this, should you ever, chas v'shalom, have a shayla in this realm. So before we go to our program, I would like to say something about this parsha. The parsha speaks so much. It's, I don't know, 40, 50 psukim about the akudim, nekudim, ubrudim. Yaakov Avinu, he takes these sticks, he peels off the dark outside, he puts it against the where the sheep are, and they have akudim, they have striped sheep, they have spotted sheep, they have blotched sheep. What's the significance? Every word in the Torah is so important. What's it coming to tell us? The Arizal has a lot of Kabbalistic things. I want to go on a more, just a simplistic level. So, you know, Yaakov Avinu is Midas Emes, Titein Emes LeYaakov. And, you know, truth could be really a tough thing, especially for a father. Yaakov's going to be the father of Shvatim, 12 Shvatim. Truth could be tough on relationships. What do you do when your spouse, your daughter asks you, excuse me, honey, did I put on any weight? Well, the true thing is to say, you know, you are starting to look a little bit like a fullback, right? I don't think that's going to go over very well in a relationship. Do you like the supper I made? Or if you're the man, do you like the restaurant maybe I took or the kugel I brought home? It's awful. It's not going to do well. Try this. How was my speech? How do I look today? What do you think about how I'm doing in class? Right. So truth could be very painful. Titein emes liyakov. Do you know that Kant, famous philosopher, the Middle Ages philosopher, Immanuel Kant, he believed in absolute truth. So, for example, he said if somebody, you know, is to somebody, you're standing in a store and this terrified-looking young woman runs in, jumps into a closet and closes the door. And 2 minutes later, somebody comes running in holding a knife, a huge guy holding a knife, and he says, did somebody come in here? According to Kant, you're supposed to say, yeah, right there in the closet. There she is, sir. He says, absolute truth, no deviant of truth. So, but it doesn't sound right to us. And truth can be really difficult on relationships. You know, Rav Pinchas of Koritz, the great Chassidish Rebbe, once said, you know, chukas bolak come together, the two parshas, matas and masi come together. He says Pinchas never comes with another parsha. When you're a kanoi like Pinchas, he says you don't have many friends. So truth can be absolute and it's justice, but on the other hand, you won't have a lot of friends with troops. You won't have relationships. Not good for a father. And where do you see that? Who's the most unforgiving person in the Torah, in Tanakh? Is Yaina. The Rabbeinu Shalom tells him, go to Nineveh and tell them to do tshuva. And what does Yaina say? No way! I'm out of here. Tshuva. Nefesh echaitas tamas. That's the honest thing. I have a friend, he said, his father didn't treat him well. Father worked. He said he was never home at night. He worked endless hours. He said, I don't forgive him for not being a father. I won't. He has not spoken to his father, I don't know, 25 years. You see, but don't you understand? He had extenuating, I believe in the truth. Yaina ben Amitai says, no, what tshuva? What? And his name is Yaina ben Amitai, the son of truth. He's the honest one. He says truth. And then when he's the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman, when he's in the Mei Hadog, what does he say? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanan, Erech HaPayim V'Rav Chesed. And he doesn't say MS. He says, if you forgive, it's not true. But in our Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman, we do have MS. What is MS doing in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman? Doesn't belong there. The truth is, yes, you did put on weight. Or yes, you did hurt my feelings. Or yes, the supper wasn't good. Or yes, yeah, whatever your particular yes is, why, whatever truth you're saying is hurting somebody else. What is truth doing in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman? And I was once on the board of a yeshiva, so they caught a boy breaking into the principal's office. He stole the pushkas, and they threw him out of the yeshiva. The next year, another boy was caught, and they wanted to throw him too. So the Rebbe came to me, and he says, I don't think they should. I said, why? He says, look, the first boy came from a wealthy home. He wanted to buy another video game. The second boy, his mother is a single mom. She doesn't have the money barely to feed them. He was trying to break in to bring food home. And the principal said, but the policy is a policy. And my reaction was, well, if you have one policy to two such different situations, that's not true. And you're saying it's true, and I'm saying it's the opposite. If you don't look at the circumstances and you don't put it into perspective, it's not true. I mean, we're not allowed to steal halachically, but on the other hand, if somebody's starving, you can steal. So is it a lie? No, it's not. But there's a truth for one situation, and there's a different truth for a different situation. Truth has perspective to it. MS is Aleph, which is the first letter. The Mem is the middle letter. The Sof is the last letter. It has to be true in every environment. In certain environments, the truth changes. And you know, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Rav Zayin, when a dayan paskins, what's the best way to paskin? Emes din? Says no, pshara. And that's so you paskin shulchan aruch, shulchan dayanim. Pshara is the way we paskin. And why is that? Don't we believe in truth? We say chesamei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. But the answer is pshara is the truth. Because this person through their vision, and the other person through their vision, and when you look at each person and their circumstances, the pshara is the truth. It's true for both of them. You know, it says when the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to create the world, there was a lawsuit in Bez and Shalmaila. Some said Yivra, some said Al Yivra, Shalom said Al Yivra. People are full of machlekes. Chesed said Yivra, Emes said Al Yivra. They're full of lies. So it says Hashem took Emes and he threw him down to the ground. So now Emes was sort of the tipping point. He's gone. Well, so the Mefarshim say, so is that a way to resolve an argument? You take Emes and you throw it down? And they say that in Shemayim, maybe over there is one Emes. But here on the Eretz, there are many truths. Everybody has their situation. We had a guest for Shabbos, a girl, who's been to us many times. And she has an eating disorder. And she eats like nonstop. And it gets me very upset because she's in Shidduch HaMeij. And so my wife, so one time she was sitting by the table and I was getting nervous. My wife calls me out and she says, do you remember when we were Menachem Avil her? I said, yes. And she said the story. And this was the story she said by Nechama Avelim. She grew up in her home where her mother was not mentally healthy. And so she didn't cook. There was no food at home. So by the shiva, she said, in a funny way, they were laughing, the sister, she said, remember when we came home, there was no food ready, it was a few days and we were starving, and you were 5 years old, and you opened the refrigerator, and you found chopped meat, and you decided you were going to make meatballs. So you were 5 years old, you put up some water, and you climbed onto the stool, and we were dropping, one daughter was 5 and one was 6, they were dropping pieces of meat into the water to make it cook so that they would have to eat for supper. Imagine that dangerous sight, too. And she was telling the story, and my wife looked at me and she said, ever since she's a child, the 5-year-old girl is screaming, if there's food, grab it. You don't know when the next meal is coming. So she said, think of that when you sit down by the table again and you're about to get upset. So this girl's truth was very different than my truth, which is why in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim it says, the Rav Chesed V'emes. So V'emes goes on Rav. There are many truths. There's more than one truth, which is why Yaakov is both Midas Emes, but he's also Midas HaRachmim. Because Yaakov's Emes is not the Emes, the naive Emes of Kant, point to which the girl is hiding in. It's the Emes of, what does somebody say? To know all is to forgive all. That's the true Emes. Somebody understands the Emes of where you're coming from and where I'm coming from and the perspective of the entire situation, the real truth. To know all is to forgive all, and that's why it's in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim. So here's Yaakov Avinu, Midas HaEmes. But Emes is black and white. The naive Emes, the beginning of Emes, is there are black sheep and there are white sheep. These are the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, the Medrash, these sheep. There's the black, there's the good and the bad. And what does Yaakov spend his next 14 years doing? Looking for colors of gray. There are the Yakudim, the striped sheep, the spotted sheep, the blotched. And each one stands for a different iteration of truth. You know what akuda means? It means both ropes and stripes. It means there are people who you look at and you get upset. But don't be, because you know that black stripe? It's because they're tied. They could have a chemical imbalance. They could have depression run in the family, anxiety run in the family. They could have so many mental health issues we had the last 2 weeks. Yaakov has to learn an MS. Wait. Look at where the person could be in akud. Nekudim. Nekudim means sharp points of color. Trauma. What kind of a trauma could it be? It could be an illness in the family. Somebody with a yasim lost a sibling. They themselves struggle with an illness. It could be divorce. It could be molestation. It could be abandonment by a parent. It could be business struggles. It could be bankruptcy. It could be foreclosure. It could be school tsaras. It could be ADD. It could be OCD. So many different things. A trauma happens to a person, and everything they do, they see through that lens. That's a different type of way where Yaakov has to learn. That's a different truth. It's not black and white anymore. It's spotted. And what are blotches? People who come from dysfunctional homes where it's not one particular event. It's a whole series of small events that's a brecht and it's a klapt and it's a harget a mensch. And when they look at the world, they're working through totally different lenses. These are the nefashis of Klal Yisrael, the akudim and the nekudim abrudim, that Yaakov was midas emes, in the house of Lavan, converted Emes into Rachmim. You know how you convert Emes into Rachmim? By looking at the perspective, to know all is to forgive all. In relationships, Emes is wonderful. But if Emes is not tempered by understanding the other person's perspective, it's not Emes anymore. So Yaina took Emes. Yaina ben Amita, he didn't accept Tshuva. He had no relationships. He was like Pinchas. He had nothing. Right, he took Emes out of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim. Klal Yisrael, however, has Emes in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim. The father who we say on him, Titein Emes LeYaakov, is also Midas HaRachmim. Let's start our program. Before we go to our guests, I would like to give a very brief overview of Hilchos Mesira. Okay, and it's really brief. But there are three basic shitas in Achronim. In the times of the Gemara, you were not allowed to give over a Yid's Mamon to an anus, which means basically a mafioso, or to a local lord, because there was no justice. And it was basically, if you gave him over, there was like the Gemara says on Kuf Yud Zayin of Bava Kamma, reasonable chance he would be killed, would torture him to find out where he had other buried monies. So therefore, the Rosh in the Tshuva says a meiser, as well as the Sma, and the Shulchan Aruch passing to say, a meiser had a din of a raider, because they would kill the Jew to extract his money. That's really where meiser comes from. However, the Shulchan Aruch is clear that if the Jew owes the money, there's no din of mesira. If you testify on behalf of somebody who owes money, so there are masa, there could be a shaila of your over on Hashavas Aveda, but there's clearly no din mesira. You're just giving somebody back. That's what it is. There's no thieving going on, right? And in that case, the Beragayla argues on the Rabbani, he actually says it's a mitzvah to do it. Additionally, the Mechaba says if somebody's threatened physically, he says, show me where Yankel's money is or I'll kill you, you're allowed to do that as well. Those are clear halacha. Now, here's where it gets a little complicated, and we're going to hear a lot of this in the coming discussions. Is there a din meiser, bizman hazeh, given that, first of all, in jails, for the most part, nobody's getting killed? Additionally, jails are there because there's a din of zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach. One of them is to enact dinim. I mean, we do not want the streets full of, you know, rapists, murderers, thieves, etc. That's the zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach. So in a just society, is there a din meiser, or is the din meiser only for something that's unjust? And there are three opinions in this matter. The Tzitzel Yezer, the Aruch HaShulchan, seemingly Rebbe Yashiv, will put the Maamar Kaimus online, hold that there is, in a just society, it's not a, there is no din meiser, right? It's disputed whether Aruch HaShulchan said that or not. We'll post the Aruch HaShulchan. Interestingly, it was taken out of the new Aruch HaShulchan. So we will post both the original Aruch HaShulchan as well as the new, so you can see side by side what was taken out. Seem to imply that there is no din meiser if it's a just cause. We don't want dangerous people on the street. So there is no shinai. The Beis Yitzchak says there is a din meiser, but there's no din of reidif anymore. Yitzchak Shmelkish, who was the great Rav of Galicia, of Lemberg, he says there is no din reidif because clearly the jails are not dangerous, but there would be a din meiser. And interestingly, the one who's most machmir is Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe says that there is a din meiser even today. And he has two tshuvas about it. One, a famous case, there was a butcher in Baltimore who served trafe to the whole city. He said, you cannot give him over because the punishment he would get in jail would be greater than the one that he would be getting if he had been given over to rabbinic authority. So Reb Moshe holds there is still a din meiser. These are the three global opinions. We will hear how these rabbanim address each of these opinions. Let's go to our guest.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone Harav Reb Yoina Ries. He's the Av Bezdin of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. He's Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. He's also a Chavar Bezdin of the Bezdin of America. Welcome, Rabbi Ries.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
So, Rabbi Ries, we're talking about Masira today. What is the Makor for Masira? It's not a Pasuk. It's not a Mishnah. Like, give us a little background to the Tzibur here. What is the Makor of the Halacha?
The Gemara speaks about it in a couple of places. You have in Baba Kama and Afa Kuf Yud Zayin. You have discussions elsewhere that throughout the Gemara that speak about the severity of giving over somebody to to an unjust government, giving over a fellow Jew, where you're giving over either their possessions or physically marking them, and they are doomed as a result to unfair treatment. And in many cases, it was presumed that since this unjust government, or sometimes we're talking about bandits, would take all of the person's possessions unfairly and even put them to death. So therefore, Moser was essentially a form of a rodef that was causing the people in the community to die. That's why the Chazal have very harsh words for a person who's a Moser, puts members of the community and the entire community at risk to be apprehended and to have their possessions taken away and to be killed. That's why Chazal say it's mutter lehargo. You're allowed to kill a rodef. The Gemara tells a story in a couple of places, Rav Shila, Rav Kahana, who saw that somebody was about to give over somebody to an unjust government and kill them. Similarly, the Gemara says that Moser goes down to Gehinnom and never gets out. It's Yoreh the Gehinnom, the Dore Dore. So Moser is one of the individuals who's Ein Lo Chelek Leolam Haba, has no portion to in the world to come. So Moser was always viewed as one of the great threats to the physical safety and well-being of the Jewish community.
And let me just add in, the Dvar Agada, there's a story with Reb Moshe Feinstein when he was a Rav in Europe. I forgot the name of the city, I apologize. So they say over that the local Moser left a letter by his Ptir. Every city had a Moser, somebody who really hated the community.
And he said he wants to do tshuva for all the masira that he did. So could they bury him upside down? And they came to Ramesh and they showed him. When he died, he did tshuva. And Ramesh said, look, it's very nice that he did tshuva, but we can't deviate from the halacha. And they buried him karei. And 2 weeks after this guy pagered, the government, a whole bunch of officers came and they started digging up the kaver. So they all went running. They said, why are you digging? They said, because we have a letter from him that because the community hates him so much that they buried him upside down. And when they uncovered him, they saw that he was buried regularly. They left and they said the community did. But you see the maliciousness and hatred of the Masira and the threat to the community that somebody posthumously would want to cause aggravation to a community. We see that is the mindset of the Meiser.
Sure, and of course we include it now at Tfilos three times a day, and we're clearly having in mind individuals, who are Mosrin, in addition, to other evildoers, but this is something which has always been a major thorn in the side of Jewish life.
Okay, so Rabbi Reis, given that, let's go through a number of situations, okay? Let's say you're sleeping at night and you hear the alarm go off, or you hear a window opening and you look out the window and you see Beryl is crawling into your house with a sack on his back to rob something. Do you call Reb David Cohn, or do you call the Satma Rebbe, or pick your favorite, or do you call the police?
Somebody's breaking into your home to rob something, to rob you. You're talking machteret. I mean, somebody Obama machteret, you're allowed to kill him. So what kind of a question is that? Obviously, a person, an assumption that somebody's going to kill you, then you can take whatever protection is necessary.
Agreed. Now let's take it down a step. You're looking out the window and you see the same fellow, Mamish Beryl, he has one of those crowbars, and he's opening your car window to steal the car. Do you call the rabbi or do you call the police?
So you're always allowed to protect, yourself to the degree that you need to. It gets a little bit complicated when you're dealing not with a machtera situation, and there I should add, because it is a sensitive topic, in Baruch HaKashemesh, that it's very clear that somebody's not going to kill you. You don't have a right to kill them. So we try to be very, very careful about these things. I'm not authorizing anybody to go and shoot anybody right away. I'm just mentioning to some of the halachos.
Which, by the way, is consistent with American law. The Castle Doctrine says that if somebody breaks into your house, you're allowed to, if you feel threatened, you can kill the attacker. And that's undisputed in all 50 states. It's only when it's outside of your home that the Castle Doctrine applies,
right,
which is the case.
That's right. So I want to be clear about that. So you're dealing with outside of your home, if it's a non-Jewish criminal, so obviously you have the right to utilize the criminal system. Now, let's say that it happens to be a Jewish person and you have to worry about the laws of Mesira. So here you have to take a number of things into account. One is, does that halacha apply to a government which is a just government? There's a comment of the Aruch HaShulchan, a little bit debatable, whether he threw it in for the censors or whether he really meant it, in which the Aruch HaShulchan says that if you have a just government, and he refers not only to his own government, which we can understand he would do for censorship purposes, but to Great Britain and to other just governments in the world, and he says that in such a case, the clear implication of the words of the Aruch HaShulchan is that the laws of Mesira are not applicable to such a government. It's Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, in a tshuva, cites the Aruch HaShulchan and argues that it was meant seriously by him, and that this, in fact, would be the halacha, that we don't have to worry about Mesira under such circumstances. So if that's the case, so then there wouldn't be a problem of Mesira per se, to take the necessary steps to guard one's property. It would be potentially a problem if you give over a criminal unnecessarily to the government, and the government doesn't even require it. So the Ramah has a comment in the laws of Mesira and Siman Shin Pei Ches and Shulchan Aruch that maybe that's considered Meshiv Aveda La'akum. You're gratuitously returning a lost object that you didn't have to return, which is only really warranted if it would otherwise cause a Chil Hashem, or if you're accomplishing a Kiddush Hashem in the process. If all you're worried about is that you're doing it gratuitously and you have to save you're doing it to save your car, so then certainly one can make the argument that calling the police under those circumstances could be warranted. Others say that the issue of Mesira is applicable even nowadays, even with a just government, because sometimes even under a just government, people receive unjust punishments, particularly if there's a chance that they might be sent to jail, where there might actually be pikuach nefesh concerns of how one would end up being treated in jail. Therefore, one has to be more circumspect under the circumstances. If somebody is physically in danger, so I think everybody would agree that you have the right to do whatever is necessary, even to turn over the person who's causing you physical harm to protect yourself physically. No problem.
So let me ask you a zoning issue. You wake up one morning and your next door neighbor is building a house next to you. He has a tractor there. And you look and you say, wow, he's much too close to the property line. He's doing an extension, and he didn't ask permission. Do you say in such a case, well, it's like the Gemara in Baba Kama, where Avadin is Gino and Afshe, like it's like the person is, you know, is stealing water from my well, and I can take a shovel out there and beat him up so I can call the zoning inspector? Or do you say in such a case you have to go to Beis Din?
So in a zoning type of a dispute, first of all, I don't think that Mesira would really be on the table. We're not talking about giving over to any authorities that are going to put somebody in jail or potentially to take away all their money and kill them. So really, this is much more of an alcohol issue. It's a question of the applicability of the prohibition of taking another Jew to a secular court, and is there such a problem when dealing with zoning authorities? So just as a matter of decency and being a shachid tov, being a good neighbor, obviously in the first instance you try to work things out between the neighbor, because it's a mitzvah litzorah. You're always supposed to make a pshara, try to work things out in a peaceful way. Things can't be worked out in a peaceful way. So the question simply is this a type of case where Beis Din has any jurisdiction, or do we say that zoning enforcement is so beyond the purview of Beis Din that it's clear that there is no point to going to Beis Din in the first instance? So there's a tshuva by Rav Vozner Zatzal in the Shevet HaLevi, in which he says that in this type of circumstance, there really wouldn't be an Isser HaKos, there wouldn't be a prohibition of going to the secular authorities, because it's a zoning board, it's not really HaKos. Beis Din doesn't really have authority in these situations, and it's not even necessarily what we would call an enforcement of a secular law per se. It's more what he calls minhag medina. The zoning ordinances in every single town is more a question of minhag than a question of the enforcement of secular law, being miyakir elilim, being meirim yad negatoris Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, he feels that in those circumstances, there wouldn't strictly be a prohibition. But again, one is always supposed to do things in an open of shalom. I would discourage bringing in the zoning authorities when it's not absolutely necessary.
Now, would you say, Rabbi, Reese, the same thing would go to somebody, you know, you have your neighbor next door and you find out that they rented out their basement, they made two apartments there, they rented that illegally, they rented the attic illegally, now suddenly there's four cars coming and going in a single family neighborhood. Would you say that that's similar, all these zoning fall under the same basket Rabbi Vozner discusses?
If somebody is not being personally harmed, so then it's just a question of are you gratuitously creating a hardship to somebody else when there is no compelling need. Even if you take Mesira out of the equation, it's still on some level Hashavas Aveda, your return to your giving over somebody to some type of authority when
Rabbi
it may not be warranted.
But the person says, look, I live in a single family neighborhood, and I bought my house here because I didn't want to live in a congested area, and it's changing the complexity of my block, and I don't want all these cars and all the traffic and et cetera. I don't consider that Meshav Aveda.
Oh, again, if the person is themselves affected, this is the question of are they suffering as a result of it, or do they just feel that they want to, report somebody because even though they're not harmed, they just feel that they just want to turn somebody in. So, of course, if they're feeling personal harm by it, then I would agree that wouldn't fall into the category of Meshav Aveda, but I would still say that in the first instance, they should try to resolve these things peacefully. I would say the following, that even if a Beis Din doesn't have a jurisdiction to, determine zoning rules, if it's more a question that everybody agrees what the zoning rules are and so forth, that they're prepared to follow whatever Beis Din is going to decide regarding this neighborly dispute, so then I think it really is something that could, in the first instance, be brought to the attention of Beis Din, or let me say, whenever it's a close call, that it's not clear whether it's a determination of a zoning authority or something that Beis Din can handle, so let the parties first go to the Beis Din, let Beis Din make the determination as to whether this belongs in Beis Din or whether it's something that's beyond their purview.
But the argument against that would be is, first of all, when somebody's building, certainly, it's often, once it's built, the Beis Din's going to have a lot more difficulty saying, okay, rip it out. So it becomes, prospective. It's like injunctive relief. It's preventing. But let's talk about the case of the many tenants. You go to Beis Din, and Beis Din says, look, there's nothing in the Shulchan Aruch that says you can't have five people in the house. So this guy says, well, it's a zoning law. So the Beis Din says, well, that's wonderful, but the zoning law is not brought in the halacha. So he may very well in Beis Din be in a situation where he's in a situation that they won't enforce something that is not a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, but it's more of the Din of the Malchus or zoning. How would you respond to that?
If it's in the realm of, like Rav Rosner said, the Minag HaMakom, Minag HaMedina, so that is something, of course, the Beis Din incorporates that into the halacha, whatever is the Minag that's supposed to be observed in the area. We sometimes have cases that are brought to us in which this is, one of the questions that is raised. Does a person have a right to do something according to what the various ordinances are? And everybody agrees that they're going to be mekabel upon themselves, whatever the Beis Din is going to decide based on the minhag hamakom. Beis Din could always issue a disclaimer that whatever they rule is subject to whatever the city decides or the town decides on its own that it's going to do or it's going to enforce. But it's not always so clear that that these types of matters can't be brought into the realm of the Beis Din, at least in the first instance, if you have a competent and responsible conscientious Beis Din.
Is it fair to say that somebody who speeds recklessly or drives negligently would have a din of a metzah l'rabim, and for a person like this, you go straight to the police?
100%. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva when she talks about this. Somebody, I think, who had epilepsy, who was very dangerous in terms of their driving and was causing terrible danger to the community. Is it permissible to report the person? He says, absolutely. This is a really big matzilas harabim. This is pikuach nefesh. There's no question whatsoever that if you're dealing with a reckless driver, that it would be appropriate to report the person and get them out of harm's way.
Now, Rabbi Risa, on a more sensitive topic, is it ever mutta to master and somebody else to get off the hook? Three people were caught in a business that the FBI comes in and they dealt in an illegal manner, the three of them, right? One, they had three businesses, they consorted, whatever the case of the illegal, and they come to one, they say, listen, we want you to testify against the other two, and we'll let you off the hook. Would that be mutar l'halacha?
It's a very sensitive topic, and I'll tell you, my own thoughts on it, which is, look, if a person is wrongly accused and they know who the real, you know, perpetrator is. So under those circumstances, since they were wrongly accused, and especially given all the other considerations that to mitigate against Mesir Bizman is them, particularly if a person is guilty, and even the Gemara says it's a performance of the Malka, if the government is telling you that they are authorizing you, or they are specifically designating you as the person who should, you know, give over the criminals, so then, strictly speaking, all of that is permissible. The Gemara, you know, talks about serving as a district attorney, so to speak, with respect to Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. They were criticized for doing it, but the Rashba, the Ritva, right, that strictly speaking, what they did was permissible. Maybe it wasn't a Mishnas Chassidim, so to speak, for people on their station to, you know, take that position, but if you are, you know, so designated by the government, choice. To me, it's a different Shiloh. It's a different Shiloh when the person is themselves.
And Rabbi, yeah. Let me just interrupt and say, and the Beis Yosef in Shin Pei Ches brings it lahalacha, the Rashba and Ritva that you quote.
Yeah, absolutely. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba in Shin Pei Ches. That's correct. Now, as far as the situation where the person themselves is culpable, I'm less certain, because that's not a situation where the person is a disinterested party or a good citizen. Really, the government is saying, well, look, you yourself are guilty, and we can punish you. We don't need to punish the other people. We'll take you. They're just being given a break that they'll get off, or they'll get a better deal if they exchange themselves for somebody else. That's not the classic situation discussed by the poskim of the person who has been wrongly targeted. Here, a person has been correctly targeted. If they gave the other person over and that person suffered, say, monetary harm, there's a question, maybe on some level you could say they were an anus, and maybe they should be putter from damages. I don't know. That's a question. But in terms of if they would turn to me and say, is this something that I should do, I would keep silent. I'm not giving such a head.
Okay, what issur would it be?
Saving oneself from somebody else's skin. I would say my horses, the dumb and do the dachas of sumak tre. They themselves committed the aveira. They're going to get off from what they would be liable to do in order to indict others. So that is dove and mius, at the very least. Let's put it that way. Again, if the government says that this is something that we're going to punish you more if you don't do this, because we need you to do this, and because we need your help in apprehending these people, that's a different story. But if they say, look, you'll get whatever punishment, you know, you would have gotten, we're not going to treat you any worse than you would have been treated otherwise, but and we're not mandating that you do this, but if you do this, so we'll give you a sweetheart deal. So to me, that's a much more difficult question. As I said, maybe, you know, Kedolim Mimeni would give such a dispensation. I'm uncomfortable giving such a dispensation.
Okay. Rabbi Reese, in a situation where Mesira is called for, where it's not considered Mesira, such as many of the cases you discussed, you have a molester, a rapist, unfortunately, somebody who's committing incest, a thug, and now there's a question, well, if we give him over to the government, it's going to create a Chil Hashem. So you have two countervailing questions. One is, the right thing is to give him over to stop it, right? Because he's a Meitzer Harabim, like the Mechaber says in Yud Beis. Or on the other side as well, this is going to create a Chil Hashem. If, as a Pesach, how would you respond? Which way do you lean?
To me, it's not a question. It's a much bigger Chil Hashem if you don't give the person over to the criminal authorities. You have a child molester in your community. You have somebody who's causing such a tremendous harm, and you're going to harbor such a criminal. Even harboring a criminal, the Gemara Nida, you know, Dr. Samach Aleph indicates is something which is prohibited, at least according to Rashi's interpretation, the Marashal's interpretation. So to me, it's a much bigger Chil Hashem. If you don't follow the halacha and give the person over, you're going to endanger and harm your entire community. What bigger Chil Hashem is there than that?
Right. And I believe Rabbi Reese is, if I could be so bold as to say that the Beir HaGoyla in Shin Pei Ches, it's Sivkat and Samach, talks about it, and he says it's actually a Kiddush Hashem
to show that we respect their laws. And
that's right. On the Ramah that talks about Hashava Saveda, how the Chatrida void Hashava Saveda, he says, what Hashava, he says that he seems to disagree with the Ramah. I don't think he's really disagreeing with the Ramah. The Ramah would agree that you had something on the base of Kiddush Hashem. The bare goal is saying, it's generally a Kiddush Hashem. So certainly in this type of circumstance.
It doesn't make us look good when we seem to have no laws and we allow predators to live among us. It makes us look foolish, ignorant, stupid, unlawful, and it creates a Chilul Hashem rather than a Kiddush Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi Reese, for sharing your Divrei Torah with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone from New York, Harav HaGoyin Rav Shalom Grunstein. He's a Talmud, he's a Musmach in Yeri Yeri Yad Yadin from the Balig Ras Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He's a Talmud of the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim and the Einikel of the Chafetz Chaim, Reb Mendel Zaks and Reb Gershon Zaks, Talmud Muvik. He's also a Musmach from Rab Levis, the Mechaber of the Beis Avi. He's Rosh Bezdin in New York of Birchas Asher. He also answers, he's the Dayan for Chayshe Mishpat in Babov. Welcome, Rabbi Grunstein.
Yeah, Shalom Aleichem. How are you?
Rabbi Grunstein, this week we're talking about Mesira. So I'm going to ask you some shilas and tell me, you know, what your sock would be. Could you be moises someone to the court system? If you have a mugger, he's running around, he beats people up. You have somebody who's a physical danger to the community. He's a rapist, a mugger, a molester. Do you call the Rav or do you call the police?
Let's put it this way. There is halach in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody is a habitual criminal, he's he goes around hitting people, let's say. The halacha is that it's a mitzvah on any person to be moiser him to nachrim or to the court system, whatever, to the police. Azoi it's mavur in the poskim and aloch lamai. So however, first you cannot do this, and this is mavur in the poskim, just go to the police and masa him. You have to first warn him, and you have first to tell him, and that Bezdin has to warn him also. In other words, this person's going around, he's doing whatever he's doing. He's not doing it today, he's not doing it tomorrow, well, yesterday. He's doing it for a while. You have to call him to Bezdin and tell, and go to Bezdin and say, listen, Bezdin has to say, we warn you that if you don't stop or whatever, we will take you to the courts or to the police or whatever the case is. If he doesn't listen, then Bezdin will give out a psak and say whatever, you can go, and it's a mitzvah to go to the court or to the police and hand them over. But stamazoi, you know, you've taken on yourself, that's a problem. It's mashma and the poskim, you always have to ask Bezdin, and Bezdin has to warn him.
Rabbi, I'm curious, where does it say in the poskim that it has to be through a Bezdin? Like, I think you're quoting the Marie Riesenberg that the Shach brings.
The Maram Riesenberg doesn't say anything about going to Bezdin. That's true.
Right.
However, if you look at
or the Marshal who brings this, it says ain't other matzalish
Right, because Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Rav also says mitzvah al kol odam, as it is mashal like in the Shach. However, if you look in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchok and Chelik Chasim and Kif Mem Ches, his mashma from him, he say that every time a situation that's mitzahas a rabbim or a ganev, I'm talking a mefursim to ganev, like in this case, you have to go to Bezdin to be masrahim.
But it's the chiddush of the Minchas Yitzchok. You don't find it not in the Marshal. You don't find it not in the Baram Riesenberg, not in the Shach.
It's
the chiddush, right?
I'm masking to you.
Okay.
However, you have to be practically understand, because what happens is, if you let it hefka, it becomes a hefka. Valse every tomorrow. Oh, listen, this guy is a criminal. I went to the police. You really have to have some sort of a control, some sort of a control in the situation. I think that essentially, on the other hand, the Mitzvahs HaRab, in one of some of the cases in Shulchan Aruch, it does say that you mechuyev to go whatever the acha shehasra noisa shemasra noisa, someone who's mazik the rab, right, which is Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Beis over there. It says that if someone is counterfeiting, correct, and I'm choishish that he's going to be mazik the rab. How is he going to be mazik the rab? Because in the old days of the guys that yid were counterfeiting, the whole city, etc. Alpha Pikaina says in Shulchan Aruch over there is Masrim Boy, where Ainam Yachicholulam Moisroy. So you see, you have to be Masra. Who's Masra? Pashtas is Pshatas, Hazoydam Minchas Yitzchak learns Bezn. So Pshatas, otherwise it becomes a Hefkavels essentially. Everyone
so
can say, well,
Rabbi Grunstein, if somebody's running after somebody with a stick.
Yes, then he's a Roidus. He's a Roidus.
Kill just to give a good a zets. I don't know, he's not coming to kill him. Would you call the police or would you call?
Let's put it this way: there's a Ramor. The Ramor says that if someone's hitting you, you can go and call the police or whatever, right? However, many poskim say that it's not so simple whether you can do that. And the Rav in Shulchan Aruch says that a yuchid that is being hit by someone cannot go and call the police, and he's a moisa. However, that's if the person is hitting someone by kloy ba'almi, goes running after you up sashtikal or whatever. If someone's hitting you constantly, obviously you can pashas go and call the police. But if it's only be kloy ba'alma, you can't go. We had a fight in Bismarck. Let's say someone had a fight in Bismarck. People were fighting, whatever. And the case is, and one of them gave the other one a zets. Oh, he's going to call the police.
Let's say you see a mugger. Somebody's about to really hurt. He's about to take a club, give somebody a zets, and rob from him.
Then he's a roidus.
He's not going to kill him. He's robbing him. He takes out a club and he hits the guy and he wants to take his wallet. You call the police or you call the Rav?
Why do you call the police? It's not ever that a Boba Machteras, right? But Boba Machteras, you can hash him a hard guy.
But he doesn't want to kill him.
It doesn't matter. All the moment that's mama, you know, you can kill him. You always have a chash. Even by a son, by a father, you have that chash, no?
But
Machteras. However, we're talking about somebody. I have, let's say, Pliny, that this Pliny over there is going, and we know that he walks around and he breaks into shul and he takes the pushkas. Okay, he's going around to all the shuls in the neighborhood. He breaks in and pays the pushkas. Am I allowed to call the police without warning him? Mashman and Milchus Yitzchak, another tshuva, where he writes and he brings the tshuvas pulling the ears, and he brings the other tshuvas, whatever. And he says it's mashman there that you can't call the police. You have to warn him. Say you call him. Say listen, Yankel, we know that you're going around. We know that you're breaking into pushkas.
Rabbi Grunstein, if you're standing by your window and you see somebody who looks like from a person, well, it could be from a person, breaking into a car, he's about to steal the car. Do you call the police or do you call the best?
Definitely you can call the police. There's
why?
No shame. Because the mice, he's like a roidus, you know?
He's taking a car. He's not a roidus.
Yeah, but you have to be muscle memoino. You can be muscle memoino. It's like the Gemara brings a bubakam when he's pushed in the chamoy, whatever, into the water. There's certain cases where you...
Right,
where
but people are going to die. There's nobody going to die if he takes the car. The Gemara and bubakam, the song about people on the boat will sink. But nobody's going to die if he takes the car.
Alpha be kind. If you see a film, I'll tell you the truth. It's possible that you have to go down there and warn him. Listen, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to massa you. I'm going to tell me you're not allowed to massa a person. You're not allowed to threaten a person that you're going to massa him. Alpha be kind. You have a nesivus. You have a sema in Shulchan Aruch, whatever, in Simen Memtah, in Vihay Simen Lamedalit, where it's mashmai that if you hate someone and you tell him, listen, I'm going to massa, where the chances are very good you're going to massa on him, then you are like a moisa, and you push lighters. However, if I'm just trying, I have no business with this guy. I don't know him from Pliny Almighty. And I go down, system, stop, otherwise I call the police. That's your allowed to do. What happens if he keeps on stealing? Mr. Tommy, you're allowed to, then he's Pshatis, he's a Ganev, he's Mitzahs, a Tziba, he's whatever, and you can go call him. You can go call the police. However, if this person is not stealing the car right now, but we know that he's going around stealing cars, and it's not a situation where he's going to steal a car right now, then Avadi, you can't just call the police. You have to go to Bezen. You have to go, and he has to be called, and with a hasmona that says, if you don't come, we're going to go to the police. And if he comes, maybe you can settle with him, because you have to remember the shaila over here by Masir. It's not a question of punishment. The goal is prevention, not punishment. With our goal, when we have certain heterim to go to our course, there's two halukas. There's an issa of Masir, and there's an issa of going to our course. That's both are included here. Now, if I need to prevent a situation where a person is going to be mitzahs a rabbim, and I have to stop him, or where he's going to be mazikas a rabbim, whatever, that he has a din of a roidef, I have to stop him. And after Hasra, I go to Bezen, I can go whatever and masam. The children of Rashiv and Igus Moshe, the Chosh Mishpat, where it was a case with in Baltimore, actually, was where a butcher or whatever was selling tarfis. He was selling tarfis. He was Machshel Yidin with eating tarfis. The question was, do we go to the government and masa him and then stop him somehow, whatever, in the future? Or do we go to a Bezen? So Shiva says that if you're going to go straight to the government,
he's going to get a bigger punishment than he would have gotten in Bezen, and you're not allowed to. He brings the Gemara.
He's a Moser. You have to first call him to the Bezen. You have to call him to Bezen, and if he's Matthias to Bezen, and he stops, and whatever he promises, whatever commitments the Bezen is going to make, he'll do.
So, Rabbi, if not, you go to court. So let me go to this question. You're standing by your window. You see a guy breaking into a car. Do you call the Bezdin to be master him? You need to have Bezdin master him.
I don't think he's talking in such a case. He's talking in a case where a person is going around, and then we don't catch him breaking in by whatever. We catch him. We know that he's doing. We know that Pliny is running around. Someone's seen him going into the Smedrish and breaking in and taking the pushkas. Then you have to warn him. He's not. But b'shas meiser, it's even by shas hakor that a yochid is also to whatever. But if I have to be muscle myself, I can be muscle myself. I don't have to be muscle myself.
Is it somebody else's car?
I'm being muscle twice a year. If I know, I'm being muscle someone.
Okay.
I'm being muscle's mamoinoi.
So let me ask you another question, okay? So,
but you have to make it, there's a chilik between b'shas
maisa,
when the actual act is happening, or in general.
Or pre-fact or post-fact, that's where the
exactly.
Difference. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you another question. Let's say you have, you wake up one day and your neighbor has a tractor and he starts digging a hole, he's doing an extension, and according to law he has to be 10 feet away from your property, and you see the extension is, they're pouring already the concrete, it's 5 feet away from your property. Do you call the Bezdin or do you call the zoning lawyer? Do you call the 211 from the city?
Now, the question is like this. This person is obviously, are we assuming that he's going against the zoning law, right?
Right, correct.
Now, is he going to harm me in any way, or do I'm just not happy that he's, you know, violating the zoning laws? What situation are we talking about here?
I'm telling you, you want to have light from your window. You want to have some room. The purpose of the zoning law is that you could have good sunlight coming in. If you build right next to your wall, you're not going to have sunlight. So do you call the zoning law, the zoning officer, or do you call the Bezdin?
Again, my question is, let's say Is he harming me als niske shchainim?
Yes. He's harming you because he's taking away your light.
And okay, so it's a problem of niske shchainim. I have to go to Bezin, and I have to go to Bezin real very quickly and have an ikel put out against him that he has to stop work. I mean, generally, these things don't happen overnight. I mean, let's be realistic. Nobody makes you wake up in the morning, all of a sudden this person is, you know, dug the hole and he's pouring the cement. It happens. It's a process. Therefore, if I see that somebody is violating the Hilchus Niskei Shchainim, the Derech Klal, the Bute Din, will paskin that if it's allowed, and this is a Mashma Ramor, that if it's allowed by law, even though Al Pi Aluch it's not allowed, Al Pi Medina, the Niskei Shchainim, they will say it's Mutter. So let's say he's blocking me in such a way that Al Pi Dina, the Shulchan Aruch, it would be Osir. But I'll pidina the malchusa. I'm going to change. It'll be mutter.
The other way around, Rabbi Gerstein.
Let's say the other way around.
I'll pidin it's mutter, but I'll pidin it's keishchein. I'll be zoning it's aser.
Then I don't see that he has any shum heta because we bals al pi din it's muta, al pi din it's muta. It doesn't go into the din of the machusa here because even though din of machusa it's shunun the shach whatever it's connected din of Torah, you don't go with din of the machusa. Al kapunim lahachma olav. I don't see that unless there's a question where in lemaisa we have in the poskim the tshuvas masham the tshuvas shulameshiv. That if somebody's doing something which is against the law, let's say he's supposed to have a license to do a certain, sell a certain product, whatever the case is, and he doesn't get the license, in a way he's really, I have a business and I have a license, is that you're not allowed to go to that course because you're a moiser, you're being moiser. However, let's say he's doing something, he's building next to me, and he's creating a sakuna.
Well, let's say it's not a sakuna. So a guy is building next to you, and according to the law, you have to have 20 feet setback, and he's building up to the property line. And there's nothing in halacha that says you can't build up to your property line. You're saying if you were on the bez, then you would say we're not interested in the zoning law. According
I'm saying
to halacha,
that no. What I'm saying is I'm not paskining. What I'm saying is that he has to go to bez, and the first thing is that the bez will issue an ikel. I mean a normal bez, Yushiv Dikah bez will issue an ikel against the person who's doing this, and then they'll go to bez and be done if he has a right to do it. He doesn't have a right to do it, but you can't make a messiah on that. What's the head of the messiah?
So let me ask you a question. Would a Bezdin recognize local zoning laws even if Halacha does not have the same law?
It's quite possible because, and again, this is not, you know, this I can't vouch for every Bezdin what Bezdin would do, however, zoning law does have to do with the public domain. And the public domain, we have Ramon and two or three places that the Choyvis belong to the Malchus. And if they say you can't build a gate there, you cannot build a gate there. And as we've had Kipaskin in Shulchan Aruch, the same case would be, let's say, in a case where people make what they call a driveway, which is an illegal driveway, and they're taking away the parking from the public, Al Pi Alucha. You can't do that. And if someone went to Bezin would paskel l'chayr that as far as this is concerned, it's dina de malchusa in a certain way, and you can't do it. But you can't just go on masa. That's the problem.
Okay, so wait. What does the Rav hold? There's a famous Aruch HaShulchan that says that the whole concept of Mesira...
I know what that Aruch HaShulchan says.
Yeah, is beyond...
The Aruch HaShulchan, you'll pardon me for saying so, it was written... Because he lived in Russia under the Tsar, and he was afraid to write away. That's why he gives what you call in English a disclaimer. And I know that the Tzitzeliezer brings him and uses him in a certain halacha. And pardon me, the Tzitzeliezer was an Udam Guru, but in this case he's not correct. Because it's definitely that this Aruch HaShulchan was written as fear of the Malchus. I know he talks about England and talks about Africa, but anyone who has... chops a little bit, but he's actually saying there's a whole different thing. He's saying the whole halucha messiah falls away, and
right.
It doesn't fall away.
Wait,
he's
so
saying
Rabbi,
that because of Amos Hamalchus. Let's say,
Rabbi Grunstein, let me ask you a question. What's the makor of messiah?
It's built on the Gemara, and the Rambam Paschal Zazoy, and the Mechabin Shin Pechas, and someone is Moisa Gufoy Memoinoi, whatever.
I'm asking, what's the Makoyer? It's not a Xeris Akasiv, it's not a Pasik. What's the Makoyer of Masira?
Pashtis, it's Chazal. Adkide Kadlet Chazal held that Moisa is Chayav Misa, no?
The Gemara in Baba Kama says that the reason is because the Gemara says is that when they're moiser the mammon of a yid to a guy, it's like a trapped animal in a pit.
That's right, toy machmer.
So I ask you a question: when if a guy goes to the zoning officer to say the guy next door to me is building too close to my house, are they going to throw the Jew in the pit and try to kill him?
No, but they may it may cost the Jew a lot of money, which is not al pi halacha. I mean, there are many cases where it'll cost them a fortune to work it out, whatever. So it costs an ayamet geld. In moisem amoinoi, in cyber gufa, cyber amoinoi, is chayv misa, and he's a moiser. If you tell me, let's say, for example, let me give you an example for that. If I'm a tenant by somebody, okay? I'm a tenant in an apartment building, and the landlord is not giving steam. And he's mechuyev to give steam, and what my option is to go call whatever department there is in the city to complain. Is afal pi ken, there's a tshuva taka for my Rebbe in Beis Ovi, where he talks about it, and he says, Lamai said, no, there's no problem, you can go. And you can make him, he can be forced by the city or whatever to give steam. That's my right, that's my option, whatever that has to give steam. Now, even though I must tell you, there's a tshuva from Menashe Klein and Mishnah Luchas, where that tshuva is to the Beis Ovi, where he disagrees. And he holds that that's considered our course, and you can't go. But I had to say it, Pashas, the halucha is like the Beis Ovi. You can go, and you can complain, and you can get steam. It's one thing.
But why can you do that? Why isn't that Masira?
Because Lamaisa, I'm not asking him anything. I'm not asking him to pay a penny more than what he's mechuyev al pi halucha to give me. He's mechuyev al pi law and al pi halucha to give me steam, right? And what's he going to do? He's going to give me steam. I'm being machasa's moment. I'm not here. I'm asking from whatever that I'm qualified to get al pi halucha.
So
not taking anything away from him.
It's going to cost them. They're going to tell him, rip out the foundation that you put in and make it back.
So wait a second. So let him go to Bezin, and Bezin will pass it. Why is there a hatred to run to court? First of all, it's a course. Maybe it's not a course because maybe it's only a building department. I'll hand that to you that maybe it's not considered a course. Maybe a housing court or whatever is not considered our cost. Maybe the building department is not considered our cost. So we take away the problem of our cost, but we are left with the problem of Mesira Pashtis. So if you want, go to Bezin. And Bezin will say, if he doesn't show up by Bezin, Bezin will say, go to court. Why shouldn't we go through this option of Bezin first?
Because for the most part, and this is, I think, where Rav Oldenburg or the Aruch HaShulchan would say, is because this is not a court who's going to put him in jail or something, a zoning department. If two people are playing baseball, could you have a goyish referee say you're out at the plate, or is it a question of Mesira? I mean, when you go to a zoning board, nobody's being put in jail. It's a question of, look, there's rules here. It's like if somebody has a professor, they go to for accounting degree, and he says, look, you know, is the professor of the accounting class, does it have to be either you're a moisa if you do something? It's saying, hey, stick by the rules. Is a going to a policeman? There's no jurisdiction. Nobody's being thrown in jail. Nobody's being threatened. It's just do what you're supposed to do. Stay in your lane.
Your tack is supposed to do what you're supposed to do. You're right. However, my obligation is because I'm afraid I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be hurt by what you're doing. Fine. So then that's why we have Din Tyrus, to go to Bezin and say, listen, this person is being mazik me or whatever. Okay. I want him to come to Bezin. the issue of ikel bezuli, and he comes to bezin. Going and running to his daughter can be. You're saying it's not money? Of course it can be money. It can be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars that a person would have to pay because he has to be massaging us to this and that, whatever. Bezin will do something. I don't know. Make a pshara,
okay.
Or if the person doesn't come to bezin, say fine. Then you go to our course.
You bought a house in Lakewood. It's so beautiful. It's so private. Geschmack. The guy next door to you, he makes four apartments in his house. Now there's four cars. There's four times the amount of garbage, or three. Three cars there, three times, a whole halach yelach every time you go. Would you say you follow the zoning, or the Torah does an asur and there's no zoning laws and he can do what he wants?
I would say that he should call in for Bezin, but I would tend to doubt that Bezin would do anything about it. Because essentially he's really, unless the situation where he's harming him, he's not really harming him, he's taking away maybe a little bit of the quality of life, correct, but that happens all the time, you know. I'm not saying it's gewaldig, but it's taking away the quality of life. It's not enough of a reason to go to court or to go to the housing department and stop him. I don't think so.
Okay. If somebody speeds, somebody's a speeder, right? He speeds through the neighborhood, recklessly. He texts while driving. Could you call the police on him or no?
There's a tshuva minchas yitzchak also about this, very specifically about this shaila of somebody speeding or somebody going through red lights, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all these situations or in today's times with somebody texting. And he says there's no question that you can report him to the police. However, he qualifies this by saying, again, you have to warn him through Bezin, and then you can, and if he doesn't stop and he continues to text or he continues to go through red lights or whatever the case is, then you have a right to go to the police and report him, even if he's going to lose his license or get tickets or whatever, fined, et cetera, et cetera. But again, it seems that the operative word here is we're looking for prevention, not for punishment. So the point is, as long as we can prevent the situation, then we can prevent the situation with Bezin, because first, before we go to our course, before we make him what's considered stuff called soft mesira, we have to warn him. And if he doesn't listen, if the person, let's say somebody is constantly speeding through a 25-mile-an-hour zone, he's going 50 miles an hour or whatever, and we send him a hazmuna to Bezin or whatever and say, Rabid, you know, you're creating a hezek, you're being mazik sarabim, you're being mitzah sarabim, you're a roidif essentially. And he says, okay, I'm going to behave, I'm sorry, fine. And if he says, afa pikein, or he continues, and you see it, then 100% then you can go to the police. But he qualifies this that it has to be with that first rasur b'bezin.
If somebody you believe, if you believe in a case, the bezin says, this person, you should go to court for him. You should be mice to him, right?
In
one of these cases, and then somebody comes and he says, "Listen, you know, if you're going to give this guy up, he's a speeder, but he's also has a langabard mepeis. It's going to create a chilul Hashem." Do you go with the fact that any one of those that after hasra, according to the way you believe you need hasra's bezdin, you should give over, like a molester, a mugger? Somebody says, wait, it's gonna be in the New York Post tomorrow. It's gonna create a chilul Hashem. Do you still continue that, or do you still give the person over? Or do you worry about the chilul Hashem?
You know, we have a few halachos in Shulchan Aruch where someone is mitzar as atziba, when someone is mazik as atziba, when someone is maka, not, you know, constantly, and it doesn't say that, and you get a hat to be moist of this person. It doesn't say anywhere that you have to look if he has a long beard or pay us, or wears his shtrambel in the weekdays, or whatever the case is. It seems whatever, this is muta, whatever the case is, it's not a question of chilul Hashem. I don't recall anywhere where it says that if you can be moist, if there's a heter or there's a chiev whatever the case to be myself. I don't see anywhere that it says that it's a problem of Chilul Hashem. Adarabba, there's a famous tshuva in Chavos Yor, what's a little bit of a different angle, whatever the case, that if somebody, let's say, is in jail and he's being gepeinigt yoisim midai, and even if it's a god of mefursim, we're talking this person's already in jail already. He's in jail, and the question, should we be poiding him from jail? Should we get him out because he's suffering more than he's supposed to be suffering? He's not, he's incarcerated, but however, he's suffering under problems over there. So the Chavos Yor says, yes, you have to be poiding him. And he says, Ramor, it says that if somebody is a ganef, whatever, can say whatever, you can be moisa him. He says only a ganef mefursim, like somebody who's counterfeiting, where you have a problem that he's a roidef as a rabbin with that he does this. However, in this case, you can be poidim. The goyim will say, listen, look at the Jews, they're taking out this ganef from jail, and they'll create a chilul Hashem. He says, no, if you have to be poidim, then you have to be poidim. I feel you have to be poidim, although that's not such a simple issue either, because in Shevet Alevi, as a case where somebody's a ganef mefursim, do I have to go out of my way to get him out of jail? He says, no, as long as he's not going to be harmed. Terribly in jail, you let him sit there. There's a famous story. I think I recall that they say Rav Schwab, someone once came to him for pidyon shvuyim. He said, "What's pidyon shvuyim? Yana sits in jail." He said, "Why? He committed this crime." So he answered, "This is the way I remember it. I can't be sure this whatever." He said, "Zalazitzim, whatever." So the Ravosna has the same tshuva. However, if he's going to come to harm, let's say in the jail he's being abused to a terrible degree, then you have to be poyed to him. So he says, don't worry about Chilul Hashem. But in this case over here, we don't find, as far as I recall, I don't see any case where there's a chilik, this ganef, he walks around with a blue bekish in the weekdays. It doesn't matter where the halacha says that you can be moisa or you mechuyiv to be moisa because he's being mazik as a rabbi, he's a roidef. And he's a roidef, and you have to be masalim. I maybe am going to be a killer roidef, it's a chilul Hashem. It doesn't matter. I don't see that the chilul Hashem plays a role in this case.
Okay. Let me go back to the question I asked you before. The whole inyan of Masira, the way the Gemara and Baba Kama brings it, is because when you give Maisim Amoine La'akam, they end up very often, they used to kill the Yid, right?
Correct.
So,
or they panic them more than they're supposed to panic.
Yeah, well, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara
would,
okay.
Right, correct.
Yeah, so if that's the Makoir of Masira, wouldn't the Tzitz Eliezer and the Aruch HaShulchan really have a good case to say they don't do that today. They put criminals in jail. They don't put innocent people in jail.
The question
if it's Xeris HaKosov, okay, but it's not. It's a Svara Masira. You're a Roidif because they used to kill the person. They would say, and the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Ches 100 times is Hamaisali La'anas. What does an anas mean? To a robber, a thief, a murderer, somebody who's taking. But if does the halacha want murderers, rapists, thieves, car robbers running around the street?
That's
the svar of the Tzitz Eliezer, right?
100%. 100% that there are situations where not only are you allowed to be moiser, be mechuyev to be moiser. 100%. There's in a case of where the Tzitz Eliezer talks about three specific cases. One where three specific cases. One where let me just remind myself. One where a doctor, somebody comes to a doctor. You bring a child to a doctor, right? The child comes into the doctor, and the doctor sees that the child is all bruised, etc., etc. Okay. So the question is, the doctor is asking the Shaila, am I allowed to go to the police to report him or whatever, to the child services or to the police, even though there's a right of section, no Shaila, that they will take him away from the parents? Okay?
They'll put him in a Freya family, he says.
And
right?
Even put him in a Freya, even Goyish family, you know? So Lemaisa, the Tzitz Eliezer, Tynus, whatever, that yes, even by even Chutzlaretz, where we're talking about the Akum, that the doctor has a chiev to medir to the government or to the police, whatever the case is, and to be medir to them. And Lemaisa, in the Kshayla, he says after his yaitzis mita. In other words, you're talking, you can't just run to the police. You call up a rov and you say, listen, I have a child here. This child looks like he's being beaten and whatever by the parents or by the mother, by the father, whatever the case is. Can I go? Can I report him? And then he tines, yes. If the rov says yes, 100%, what's the situation? You see, there's broken bones. Is he in the head? Avada. You can report him, and he brings in Nishmas Avram. He brings from the Yashiv, whatever. That is same thing that you're allowed to go to be Medea to the government or agency, even Chutz Laaretz. Or the second case where he talks about if a father is molesting his daughter, and you know about it. It's the same thing he brings from Shlomo Zalman that the person has a din of a roidev. And you have to go to court, to the government, to the police, or whatever, and stop him. And the third situation, which is lighter a problem sometimes, is a question of a pedophile, where he lets somebody who's in a kindergarten, that's the case that he brings, and you know that the teacher is creating a problem over there. So he also passes, no question about it, that you're mechuyev to go to be medea to the government. And he brings in Nishmas Avram from Yashiv, that this is considered like a psychological attack, whatever. It's a sakona l'rabim, whatever. So what you have to do, but he says, you've got to go, you'll have to go to the hanhola of the school and tell them, listen, so-and-so is doing so-and-so. And if they do something about it immediately, fine. If not, he says, then you can go to the police or to the government or whatever your case is and report him. Al Kapunim is also mashma that you can't just do it on your own. You have to ask a rov. You have to Rav Muvik, not somebody who's giving out blanket heterim, but whatever the case is, it has to be done by Yeshiva Das. Because you remember, sometimes these cases can be backfire where the person is totally innocent and somebody is creating a situation. But once you mavara that this is the case, then there's no question that you can do it. I'm not saying you can't be, there is no situation where you can't do it. Avada, there can be a situation. But stamazoi, we don't find in the achronim or whatever that the mater b'shoifi, stamazoi, a monetary situation to go wrong to be moisa. Sometimes even when something is not even also al pidin, let's say somebody is doing something which al pitoira, you can't find a bedafka issa for that, or I'm not saying it's muta. It does a tshuvas mabit. There was a case like that, and it was tzorech shor, even at shaloi medina, they were had to go to the goyish courts or whatever, and to be masam, even he's going to sit in jail. And he says over there that the Maribe Rav was masking to him. So I'm not saying there are other cases where you're mechuyev to go and to be master. But there are cases where it still falls under the blanket of Mesira. And you can't just go, whatever, to court. You have to, because you, again, there's Shiloh, of course, and there's Shiloh of Mesira. Again, Igus Moshe, you see that. I mean, you should say, well, today we're living in a Malchus Shel Chesed. And therefore, going to court and getting an injunction against this person, individual, not to sell meat anymore, what's the problem? Alpha Pekani says, Claw, it's a problem of a cause, a problem of Sira. And he also knew of the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm sure.
Clearly, there's a number of shittas here. The Tzitz Eliezer and Aruch HaShulchan say...
The Tzitz Eliezer is very specific in specific cases. Would you go three specific cases?
but he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan LaHalacha.
I know he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan,
right,
but he only uses that as a general rule,
right.
Whatever. That doesn't give us the right to take the Tzitz Eliezer and make a blanket hat of Mesira. Those statements doesn't.
I'm just saying, but Ramosha is a chiddush because, again, the Gemara in Baba Kama that talks about Mesira only talks about where it creates a danger for the Yid. There's clearly no danger by the butcher. There's no, so it's a chiddush, Rav Moshe.
It's a chiddush, but
I'm just saying it's not the pashtus. It's Tzitzel Yezer and Aruch HaShulchan are much more pashtus.
But listen, I'll repeat this. The Aruch HaShulchan is if anyone I am a Mayach Barosh, I can see that this was done because of Yiras HaMalchus. 100%, there's no question about it. You look at the Lushan, you read it, you see the Yiras HaMalchus coming out between the lines. You
then
have to write this. He's saying that there's no Moisa today. He says that everyone, you're allowed to go be Moisa. Fantastic. The person who's a Moisa is no Moisa. There's no Messiah anymore. I like it. The whole thing falls away. Chas v'chalila, and he doesn't mean it 100%. And when the Tzitz Eliezer brings it, even though he's trying to scratch out from there, it's the dati. It's not the staffzan. This is not a blanket heta. And again, the Tzitz Eliezer himself is only going to three specific cases where there's no question that the Gedolei Aposkim held like that. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, whatever the case is. One, a case of a battered child who can't protect himself. Number one. Number two, an incest in a family where it's a terrible problem. And number three, in a pedophile situation. I'm sure the Rishiv would hold like that also. Everyone would hold like that.
Without a sakana, we have no makor from the Gemara for the din of Maisa. That's my point.
But Lamaisa, we have our Makor and Shulchan Aruch and the Gedolei Aposkim Rishonim and Achronim. Where even though we have a tshuva there's a tshuva in one of the Poskim where he talks about that you can go and the Bezin can go and if somebody had a major problem, whatever, Bezin can go ahead and hit him, whatever the case is with Gedolim. However, he's choicher that he cannot go to the Goyim. And he doesn't say that they're going to kill him, Badaskia.
Well, when the Sma in Shin Peches brings the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin in Baba Kama and reiterates that the reason why there's a din of that a Moisa is could be Nerag, he says, because he's creating Pikuach Nefesh for the party who you're being Moisa on. So the Shulchan Aruch also seems to imply it's because of Pikuach Nefesh. I'm just saying, you're saying the Shulchan Aruch says that. I'm just saying that I can't find the Makoyer, not in the Gemara, not in the Shulchan Aruch, that you have a concept of Mesira where there's no Pikuach Nefesh. And we have a big audience. If somebody could find the Raya from the Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara, Adarabba, the Goyin brings one Makoyer. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Gittin, he says, I have somebody who's being Meiser them. Can I give them Obel Letzibur? So Rashi says, what does it mean he's being Meiser them? He's being made to them b'charifo gadifa. So the Goyin says, you see, for charifo gadifa, you can't do anything. But it's more than that. You don't have a makar for this shaila.
I don't understand what your raya bring you for the Goyin. I don't understand what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that I don't see that we need to find a raya that there's a din of mesira where there is no shaila b'kvach lefesh. That's all I'm saying.
When the Mechava and the Shulchan Aruch, whatever, and the Rambam, is also limser liyisro biyad akim bein begufa bein bemoina falu roshia balavei vafilu meitzaloi in betzaroi. Fantastic. V'chol amoisi yisro biyad akim bein begufa bein bemoina ein lechelik loylam abo. So where and you're telling me that it's dafke if the chash whatever that he's going to be that they're going to kill him. This is nishtas like pshat in the snapshot nachroinim like that. It's pashtus, whatever, that they're going to be mitzar him, whatever the case is also. If it would say in Shulchan Aruch.
Rabbi Grunstein, look at the Sma in Simen Chav Tes, what you just read. Begufay Eibim Amayna, Zakti Sma, the Moiser, after Eine Mazik, Mamin Chavei Rabbi Adayin, Gora Mi Mazik, the Alfinu Labi Gemara, Midik Sev Banecha, Alfu, That's the din of Moshe. You don't have that today.
But let's say they put somebody into jail because you have the Rabashkin case with Alila Mamish. How many years did he get?
27 years.
27 years. And what's the chash within a jail that he'll have all kinds of problems from the other prisoners?
If in a case where he could come to Pikuach Nefesh, you would have a din of Maisa, but if there's no shail of Pikuach Nefesh, I don't see in the Shulchan Aruch that there's a din of Maisa. So, for example, it's hard to take the position that for a zoning board, there's going to be Pikuach Nefesh. That's all I'm saying.
But the problem is, you're very right, but the Faskid of Poskim say not like that. So what should I do? If I was a Ken Shtel and Kenegan and Masham, and a Ken Shtel, I would say, you're right. But the Masham and the Sholomeshev who Gedoy Lador, talking specifically in cases where somebody is missing a license, there's not going to be any problem. They're not going to put him in jail. They're not going to kill him. They're going to whatever. They're going to fine him, etc. And the Beis Yitzchok in a case where somebody is selling naft, gasoline, and he's selling it in large quantities, whereas the Shaila of Mazik, whatever, he says there, yes, because he's a Mazik. However, if he wouldn't be a Mazik, then he mitches, he says he'd be the Moisa. And the Masham says, clear that he's a Moisa. And the Sholomaisha says, clear that he's a Moisa. What am I doing? I'm going to complain that Yen is selling without a license. He's not going to go to jail. He's not going to go to heaven.
I agree with you, and all I'm saying is that...
So I'm saying the Svara is very good, the Yisod is very good, but we have to go with the Cheshma of the Gedolei HaPoskim. And the Gedolei HaPoskim don't learn like that.
And all I'm saying is that when we say that the Aruch HaShulchan is writing it for the senses, but it's not, it's order to Tzeliyaz, you could say, no, they're writing it because of the Sma. It says there's no Pikuach Nefesh.
The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't quote the Sma. The Aruch HaShulchan is very specific where he talks about the Tzar, Yoram Hoidoi. What are you talking about? The Tzar. All of a sudden we're worried about Tzar Nikolai, Yoram Hoidoi. You know? Because you have to... I mean, anyone can realize what happens in a situation like that. It's like it says with all the disclaimers. Not like the Goyim Shehoyim V'meich B'mei HaChazal or the Goyim Terei HaTzadikim, whatever the case is. That cannot be used as a raya on this din, 100%. I mean, whatever. And I don't understand the Tzitz Eliezer when he brings it. He also brings it essentially as an aside to the whole situation. And when he talks about the Lushan, he just says whatever the case. If I remember correctly, he says Episazami Lushan that okay. Besides that, I have the Tzitz Eliezer also. Where the Tzitz Eliezer, I have the Aruch HaShulchan also. Yesh Chilik. Between what kind of Medina it is, whatever. So, and essentially, he's not giving a blanket heter. He's going back to his three shilas. And these three shilas, I'm asking to you. But to say that, therefore, I can go to the zoning, whatever, if there is a shila of Messiah, I say, no, it's not Messiah. You're right, it's Gevaldige Taina. But Sofko Sofi Balz, this was like in Halucha like that. And he Balz.
Do you understand the Marsham to say that according to this, the guy who's going to be Meisa, the guy for not selling B'tzluchas, he'd be able to kill him?
You know, you're not going to be able to kill him, but he has a certain... not every Meisa can you kill, whatever. However, and even though in the old days there were cases where they killed the Moisa, if I'm not mistaken, the Chuvus Rivosh brings... I think it's a Chuvus Rivosh, right? That the Rimagash killed a Moisa.
The Gemara brings a few Moisa.
I know, but if I have, you don't let me finish. He killed a Moisa by Nila in Yom Kippur, Shechalias B'Shabbos. I'm not talking about the Shechalias B'Shabbos. So the point of the matter is, Avada, no one's saying that this Moisa is going to have a right to kill him. I'm sorry, it's not going to go into the halucha of where Moisa is in Vihaisis and see feud over there, Mutala Arga Moisa. No one's saying that. whatever the case is. What she was saying is that there is a certain halacha of Mesira that's also under any circumstance, even where the Moshe can't kill him. It's still also. The Masham is not saying you can kill him, and the Sholomesh is not saying you can kill him, the Bas Yitzchak is not saying you can kill him, and Rav Weissman and Chas Yitzchak are not saying you can kill him, and Rav Nashe Klein is not saying you can kill him either. However, you're not allowed to do it. That's the point.
So we had a guy today we interviewed, a gentleman, who was sort of low on the totem pole of a crime, and the prosecutors came after him and they said, listen, if you don't, you know, testify against other people who did much more serious things, we're going to make your life miserable, we'll throw the book at you, you know, that they can make the, you know, that's how they, them ayim on people. So his question was, well, my question would be, in such a case where they say, listen, you know, we have you on something, sort of a small thing. If you don't give us over A, B, and C, we're going to put you away. We'll figure out a way to get you good. Would a person have a heter to be moiser the other people to say, basically, it's like the case in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not dissimilar to the case in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Ches Beis, where an anus comes and they say, you know, we'll punish you, we'll kill you if you don't give over Reuven, you don't tell us where Reuven's the chasim are. And there are certainly days that I make ill in that situation. Would you think that it's a comparison or not?
I'll tell you, there's really two mahalchim over here. One mahalch that, you know, you find in the tshuvas, there's a tshuva from Menashe Klein, whatever, and Menashe Klein Tynes, and this is Mamish's case where somebody was subpoenaed, you know, the whole situation. And he says that the person is a Moisha. And he says, besides that, there's a Shaila v'chil Hashem, because I'm not going to go into that, yes or no, but that's what he Tynes, because if somebody is going to testify against another Yid, he's going to say, aha, one of them is testifying the other one, and it's a major problem. And he holds that it's a problem of Mesira. However, we find actually in Yeridaya, in Ugabe, when the goyim come and say, hand us over one of you, whatever, you're not allowed. If they right. However, if they say specifically one of them, okay, then it's a different halacha. In that case, he's considered Roida, because was it him, everyone's going to get into trouble, you know? And therefore, you have, in certain cases, there might be a heter. Certain cases, when a person is really a Roida and he's committing crimes and he's essentially being Roida to other people, that it might be a heter where you might, under certain circumstances, go ahead and testify. Again, something like this, if a poor person does something like this, he has to consult with a Moshe Varov, a Moira Ro, Mubik, or a Bezin. I don't say he has to go to a Bezin. It's not a question of Bezin. He has to go to a Ro, that is a Rav Mubik, and not somebody who is out blanket at Tehran or something, but a Moshe Varov, a first in the Rov, and ask, I have a Shaila. What do I do here? So on one circumstance, it can be possible that he's essentially a Musa. On the other hand, even there might be a situation where, let's say, he works for the tax department, right? And then there are many poskim holders, somebody works all the time, maybe he shouldn't take a job in the first place, in a situation where he's going to be an auditor and he might get people into trouble. However, if he does, there may be a din of the machusa that he's allowed to. On the other hand, maybe that person who's they're trying to get is a roider after everyone else, and he might have a heter. So again, this is really a shaila that has to, it depends what the situation is, and would, after consulting it or getting a psak, it would follow that psak. So I'm not saying it's a blanket no. There may be a possibility of yes, but again, it's a very shver shaila.
Right. Okay. I mean, just regarding you say from Rabbi Klein, what he says that it's a chilul Hashem. I mean,
he says it's the seal besides the Chilul Hashem.
Wait, so let's go through it piece by piece. As far as the Chilul Hashem piece, the Beir HaGoyel is before Sim, where he says it's a Kiddush Hashem.
I know the Baal Golem.
Right? He argues. He says, you know, they see that the people are on it.
But he's not talking. There he's not talking about me going talking about Yanis. He's talking about the cloud. You know, be Ma'am the boy, 100%.
No, but he says that the minute he has to give over.
There's a smug. The smug says, "Vani kshayisi ben hagoyla." I don't remember the exact language. I'm quoting. "Vani kshayisi ben hagoyla." I was in God. I derashed to him that you should be very, very careful with dealing with the akum, because what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? They'll say
Mashiach comes to a folk of Ganoga.
But we're not talking, we're talking in such a situation where he's going to save his skin, as they say, to, you know, get another person to get out of trouble because of another, to get another person into trouble. There, I can hear that it might be a Shiloh v'chil Hashem, you know? So, look what's happening. One of them is ratting out, as they say, and the other one, you know? Again, it is something.
Yeah, I just want to read. I want to read the lashon of the Be'er HaGoyel. He says, "Kfar pashit atikun va'minig shemanhigi akehila oimdim ala mishmer u'machrizim v'noistin rishus lefarsim u'legalis legoyim ala nashim ashalikhim b'hal kafa elavim b'alvav ein daitim l'shalim." I mean, he says it's a kiddush Hashem. Now, as far as the other point that Rabbi Klein says is, he says that it's a ma'aseh. The Mechaba in Shin Pei Ches Gimel says, "Ansei a melech limsayr al zeh sheyirloi lemaisa zeh at sheyirloi mamin chaverish uberech milfanav." He says, "Machmas aynes, he's potted." Two days exactly. So I'm just saying, you're quoting Rabbi Klein. I'm quoting the Beis Yosef. Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. But you have to remember something. It's one thing where they're going to take away money, and another thing that we know, even though, like we were talking yesterday, it's a malchus shel chesed, whatever the case is, and however, and this is Yanky Blow talks about this also, that malchus shel chesed, but somebody up the player, there's no such thing as incarcerating a person for a white collar crime, right? I mean, however, here, somebody can go sit for minor white collar crime, 27 years, 25 years, 15 years, whatever the case is. No. And they're already, not only that, and we're going back to the original Shiloh of Messiah, that we're going back to Sway Machma, that it's a Shiloh of Sakunis Nefoshis. Mam Sakunis Nefoshis, because those times the prison is probably equivalent, the Reshtet and the Poskim is equivalent in many ways to Sakunis Nefoshis. So again, as I'm saying, the person is going to have to pay an ownership woman? No, maybe. But if generally when the federal government goes against someone, they're looking to put him away for a long time. And there already, you're talking about a Shiloh of, is it Mesira? Is it not Mesira? Is he a writer? And I can give him over? Whatever. As in the situation, you're a day over there. And you have to ask the Shiloh. I'm not saying.
Yeah, it's a big Shiloh.
It's not a blanket head to say,
Okay. Thank you very much, Reb Shalom Yankif. For all our listeners, Reb Shalom Yankif runs a Beis Hayrah. It's open 24 hours a day. The phone number is 718-215-1666. The Beis Hayrah of Borough Park, 718-215-1666. Thank you so much and for your time.
We have on with us from Muncie, New York, Nassim Rothschild, who has a very interesting story about Masira to share with us. Nassim, why don't you tell us your story?
Okay, I'll try the best I can. It was a while back, but I'll do the best I can. I had a business in Rockland County. I was the head of the school board. I was the head of a lot of things that were going on there. And I did my best to keep things going right. Unfortunately, through something that I did stupidly, I was arrested. And when I was arrested, they told me, listen, we're going to let you go because you've been here for the community. I was in charge of the fire department, other things all around there. So here's what we're going to do for you. You give us all the information that we have, and what we're going to do is we're going to give you a sentence to you, and we're going to let you go three weeks from the day you go into Otisville. And we guarantee you going into Otisville, And then they extended that to like 6 weeks, it was, I think. And they let me off a week before Pesach. And they told me to leave. Now, at that time, they were pressing for people to snitch. And I was given this opportunity. They wanted me to answer a bunch of questions, to tell a whole bunch of people about who really are the big shots who are in the community that they could hit on, so they don't have to put me in jail. And that's the gist of what they said.
You ended up in jail for how long?
I was in jail for 7 months.
7 months.
Yes.
Now, do you think you did the right thing by not snitching?
Absolutely, because halacha, you can't do that. And I'll tell you quickly as I explain it what it did for me. It caused my wife to on the first day I went into jail, she handed me my get. So she wanted me to accept the get, and she was going on to other people. So she knew already that she wasn't going to be with me. Then after that, every person that I did something for in Rockland County, and I was pretty high guy, I could make things happen, every one of them turned on me. And basically, so today I sit here and really torn apart. I can't get a job. If I go off or try and get a job, and even in the Jewish stores, I try and go in there. They say, Nathan Rothschild, no, we can't do it because I've done some terrible thing, which I haven't done. And if I just today, every morning I wake up and I say, why did I do this? If I just had done Masira, whatever it was, I would have been able to have a life. I don't have a life now because of this.
So do you regret not cooperating with the authorities?
Let me say it this way.
I know I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. My old father would have it. But I regret that I wasn't able to do it. That I wish if I had to do it again, I'm not so sure what I would do. It's now all this time. And can you imagine from the day this thing has started till today, I still can't do anything. I can't get married again. Everybody make sure that everybody knows, don't touch me.
And that is because you sat in jail or because you didn't
Because I didn't master. Because all the other people, when they made deals, so they made a deal who they were going to take. I got called into one of those things. They sit you down and they say, listen, we don't need you here. You think we want to feed you here in jail? And then they always make a deal. And at the end of the day, if I could do it all over again, I couldn't tell you today that I would go back and do that because I've lost everything. I haven't been able to see, as I said, I have children and grandchildren that I don't even know. And it's unbelievable for nothing.
So you're saying that you regret not cooperating because by going to jail it cost you it had great negative impact on your life. Is that I just want to understand it. Is that what you're saying?
It is in a way. But when that's what I'm saying, and it's the way what I believe. If the same thing happened to me on the street right now, I still probably wouldn't do it because I don't think halacha you can do it. So that's the thing. I figure one day for all the bad things I must have been doing in my life, I hope it's all going to be over because of my taking on this onish for all these years.
Now, did they ask you to testify against others who had done much worse things than you, or had done the same thing as you?
No, the way it works is when you go into jail, they say you have a buddy. He's going to show you the reins. And what those people do in the jail is when they take them around. Yeah, they're going to show them where you daven, where you go to eat, and all that. And then slowly but surely, these people start saying, "Listen, I had a 12-year 10 sentence." That's what they say. So they had I had a 12-year sentence. But I'm going to give some information. It won't hurt anybody too much. And then that's what they do, and then they get out. And you have to wonder why the same people, like the guys in New Square and all of that, why did they all of a sudden get out? Because they gave something for it.
So let me ask you, are there people of the group who they asked you to testify against, to snitch against, are there people who did much worse things than you?
Absolutely.
Like, give me an example. Like, how much more? Like, what did they do compared to what you did?
People who
robbed over $7 million.
People who who burnt buildings and stuff so they could so that they would be able to make a better building on it by mysteriously burning down. There's so many different things just like that.
Are there people who didn't go to jail because
yes.
you didn't have
many,
to lie?
Many, many, many.
So do you feel bad that people who did much more wrong than you did not go to jail because you did not testify, whereas you, who did a comparatively minor thing, went to jail because you refused to cooperate? Do you feel bad about that?
Today, I don't feel bad about it.
When I was going into jail, yes, I did. I couldn't understand.
And why don't you? And why don't you feel bad about it today, given that you sort of took their punishment?
Because. There's no reason I could give you that would make sense.
The only thing that I could say is I wouldn't have gained anything. If somebody says, listen, we own a, thank you, you took care of us, we're going to give you a job, that's a nice thing to do. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't say to somebody, if I had the opportunity to save them. I was the fire department chief in Rockland County for a long time. The fact is that when I did that, I was. It's the same type of thing. You get nothing for doing it, but at the end of the day, you do what you think is right. And I think that was right. And if I was in jail again, and I could help somebody get out of jail or anything like that, I would be happy to do so.
Thank you very much, Nathan, for sharing your story with us. Okay.
Yeah. No problem.